And for those of you listening on the radio, you could not obviously see the video part. Only those who are going to be watching on our TV station will be able to see that. But you were seeing things happening, such as bricks being thrown, fires being set to cars, things that look very familiar to what we saw happening 4 or 5 years ago in the summer of quote unquote peace, I think is the leftist media tried to frame it at that time. And we all know it was anything but peace, but riots and looting and sadly, several deaths. Folks, each week we do take a look at the cultural, legal, and spiritual crossroads our nation is facing, and how we as a people of faith and conviction can respond with clarity, courage, and truth. Today I'm honored to be joined by David Walls, Executive Director of the Family Foundation, an organization that is on the front lines defending biblical values right here in Kentucky and across the nation. We'll be discussing key Supreme Court decisions, shifting views within the GOP, and the ongoing cultural efforts to undermine our values. But we're starting with something much more immediate, the brewing unrest we're seeing in our cities and what it signals about the direction the radical left wants to take this country. David, welcome to our program, my friend. It's always great to have you on. And by the way, folks, David will become a frequent contributor to Kentucky News. He will be on Fridays primarily, not every Friday, but on a rotating basis. We're going to have several I like to say high-powered guests that'll be on to share their views, and we feel very honored to have David as a part of the Kentucky's Voice team. And again, welcome back to Kentucky's Voice, David.
Hey, brother, it is great to be with you this morning, and man, I'm excited to of course be on with you this morning, and excited for the opportunity to be a part of the Kentucky Voice. What important time and moment for a growing conservative Christian Kentucky Voice. All across the Commonwealth. So it's, man, I'm just excited about how the Lord's using y'all's voice, and I'm just excited to be a part of it and to see how the Family Foundation can amplify some of the important work that we're doing as we all try to stand up for Christian conservative values here in the Commonwealth and across our great nation.
Yeah, and I know this may be this initial topic that I'm talking about right now, and thank you, by the way, maybe slightly out of your wheelhouse, but it is something that I know you're concerned about, I'm concerned about, and all of our viewers and listeners are concerned about what's happening right now in Los Angeles. And there are reports, again, from people way more qualified than me, way above my pay grade, that are talking about this being a concerted, planned effort, much like, what we saw from several years ago. At that time, it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter folks that were doing it. But, here we are, and again, a new Trump administration. What are your thoughts? I mean, how do you package and put this all together?
Well, first off, Bob, it's obviously concerning. And from my vantage point, it looks very eerily similar to some of these other highly orchestrated protests. I don't think it's a coincidence that we kind of see these protests when you have, for example, President Trump in a conservative leaning, White House and conservative momentum on issues where you see this kind of these kinds of things going on. I'll tell you, Bob, when the stuff was going on, at the beginning of COVID, I was still in Texas at the time, worked for a partnered ministry in Texas that does very similar work to the Family Foundation here. And our office was in downtown Austin. And so I experienced literally just overnight, a city could change. We had restaurants and businesses and stuff that literally boarded up in downtown Austin. And it went from a very vibrant place to a place where you didn't want to go out and simply walk to lunch. And so when I see this kind of situation, what's going on in LA, that immediately kind of brings back to mind some of those times. But, what I keep coming back to is, we're in an era now under President Trump where we're trying to get back to a law and order culture. Yes. And we obviously have a broken immigration system. Again, from Texas. I am well aware of the problem of the border and immigration. Obviously, Texas is central in that. And we have got to work towards a society and law and culture where our laws are upheld. And the reality is, a lot of this resistance that you see coming from some of these things, I don't think it's representative of the average American. I think the average American, the average Kentuckian, wants to see our borders under control. They want to see the law being followed. They want to see our police be supportive and be thankful for them putting their lives on the line to ensure that we can live in a society where businesses can flourish, families can flourish, and all those great things. But I really sense that this is just another coordinated political effort that I think is, like you said, probably being highly influenced by a few elite folks and not really representative of certainly where the average Kentuckian is.
No, and you know, David, very good points. And it speaks very loudly, again, when you look at the results, you know, of the last election. I think that the results of what happened in the last election pretty much backs up what you just said, you know, that the silent American, the silent majority, if you will, has spoken up. And, you know, and I guess, you know, here we are, we're Christians, you know, we're far from perfect. But we do love God and love Jesus. And, you know, as a Christian, how should we respond to this in the time that we now find ourselves in?
Well, I think it's so important for Christians to just remember the basics sometimes. I mean, Romans 13, I think sometimes we forget that God is the one who ordained government. And it is a result of sinful man. I mean, it's a recognition of the sinful nature of man that God gave us government to bring order and stability into society. And the primary purpose of government is to promote justice and to punish evildoers. Now, we live in a moment in a time where government has gotten involved in way too many things, funding too many programs. But when we're talking about, you know, securing the border, ensuring that laws and property rights are being upheld, that's, you know, that the basic ability of citizens to be able to engage in the day-to-day activities, I mean, that kind of law and order stuff, that is the basic premise of why God created government. And so we should be supportive of those things. And I think for the most part, I think most citizens, as I said, certainly most Kentuckians, are in favor of the efforts to restore law and order, you know, in our, particularly as it relates to the immigration issue, which has just gotten so out of control.
Yeah, it really has, David. And very, very good discussion and points that you make. Folks, I'm going to invite you to stay tuned. We're going to be back with my good friend David Walls. He is the executive director of the Family Foundation. And we're going to be taking a little bit of a dive into the Supreme Court, some of the decisions that's been going on there. Stay tuned to Kentucky's Voice. We will be back after this break. And welcome back to Kentucky's Voice with my special guest today, David Walls, executive director of the Family Foundation based out of Lexington. If you'd like to join in the discussion, you can text us at 502-571-0970. Again, that number is 502-571-0970. David, let's shift to the courts. And I'm talking about the Supreme Court, where we are looking at several potential decisions that are expected to come down this month. You know, even as we speak, there may be one getting ready to come our way, each of which could dramatically impact parental rights, the administrative state, and religious freedom. I just wanted to see, and I know you're well versed in this, and you know, tell us a little bit about those different decisions and the impact that they can have on our nation.
Yeah, you know, it feels like we've kind of been trained, Bob, to that June is the month of big Supreme Court decisions. You know, it's normally the end of their term, and you know, particularly the last couple of decades, you've seen some of the most consequential decisions waiting for the Supreme Court to put out at the end of their term in June. And that's certainly where we are this year. And look, there are, the Family Foundation, We're a part of a network of family policy councils that are about in 40 other states, brothers and sisters of Christ, seeking to stand for God-honoring policy across our great nation. And a lot of times we're able to join with some of those organizations in what's called amicus briefs or friend of the court briefs, where we try to come along and bring supplemental arguments, maybe other important legal arguments and angles to these important cases. And there are four important cases that we've been blessed to sign on to legal briefs on. And a couple of them are directly relevant to laws that the General Assembly has passed here in the Commonwealth in the past couple of years. One of the big cases is this case that's known as the Scrimeti case. And this is actually out of the state of Tennessee. Kentucky has a tie to this case as well. But this relates to state laws to protect kids from these radical, harmful gender transitions that we know leave kids with mutilated bodies, either chemically or physically. So thankful that Kentucky and SB 150 back in 2023 was among some of the first states to say, we're going to ban this horrific practice, to do something essentially that's just not possible. It's not possible to change your biological sex. So the idea that we would have an industry, a medical community seeking to push this ideology and actually prey upon these young kids to do something to them that's not possible, it's frankly just evil. And so the
U.S. Well, let me say this. It's Frankenstein type stuff. It is. You know, that you're talking about. And you said a key word, as is the case with a lot of things involving big medicine, big pharma. A lot of it is centering around, or just about 99.9% of it is being driven by money, you know, in the process. So you're right. Thank God that Senate Bill 150 did get through the House and the Senate. By the way, let me throw this in real quick and I'll let you continue on. Our governor did attempt to veto this.
Well, he did.
Say that again.
He didn't attempt. He did.
He did. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I should have said he attempted to take it down.
Yeah.
But it was through our legislature having the supermajority being able to override him that kept that from happening.
No, absolutely. That's an important point. And, you know, there are now 25 states. And as I said, a lot of our allied family policy councils have been involved in different states. But there are now 25 states that have passed these type of protections. But the Supreme Court has this important case. It's the first time they've really, Bob, hit this issue, the kind of transgender issue, this directly head on. So there's a lot of interest in what the court's going to do. I feel really good about with the current makeup of the Supreme Court, that we are expecting a strong decision that's going to affirm the right of states to do something that's very basic, to protect kids from being mutilated. I don't think it gets much more basic than that when we're talking about the authority of state government. But that's what's at stake here. And so we're this could be a decision that we see even this week. And so I encourage folks to be in prayer about this this important case. And if I didn't say, we've got to write up our legal team member that has a law degree on our team wrote up a great piece on our website at KentuckyFamily.org where you can read some more details about some of these important cases. But that's one. Another important one, Bob, is the Free Speech Coalition v. Paxton case. And that is based out of Texas. But again, it's centered around a law that Kentucky also passed. And this has to do with state laws to protect kids from accessing online pornography, adult websites. And so Kentucky, in the 2024 legislative session, passed a law requiring meaningful age verification. So simply just the idea is, you know, in the brick and mortar realm, we have protections that say kids can't access certain things. We should certainly take those same protections and put them in the digital realm. And that's essentially all that this bill did. But Bob, as you're probably aware, these type of laws have gotten a lot of attention because of the aggressive hostility that the porn industry has come out against them. And they've actually refused to go along with these laws and have shut down access in Kentucky and a number of other states. Obviously, we praise the Lord for that, that these websites, vile websites that harm, obviously, children, but are, you know, the porn industry is very much caught up in sex trafficking, even in the abortion industry. I mean, there's just so many areas in which this vile industry preys upon people. And we certainly, I believe, states have the obligation to protect kids at the least from these. And so this big case out of Texas, the law was challenged in Texas. It's very similar to Kentucky's law. So we have every reason to believe that this could have implications on Kentucky. And I believe there's 24 other states that have passed similar laws. And so this is going to be a very interesting decision to see what the Supreme Court does. Because essentially the other side is trying to, in my opinion, take a misguided view of the First Amendment and say that the First Yes. Amendment protects this kind of vile content. And certainly we don't believe that, but we also certainly believe states have an obligation to protect kids.
And that's the only card they can play, in my opinion, in this. And you're right that they're trying to do that. And again, hopefully they will be unsuccessful, you know, in that effort.
Yeah. So another important case, and this one could be very important, Bob. And I don't know if you've heard about this, but the Mahmoud case out of Maryland. This has to do with an out of control school district that not just promoting LGBTQ like sex education curriculum, they had actually taken it a step further and was pushing this in their English curriculum and trying to force kids to have to read all kinds of inappropriate LGBT.
Vile stuff.
Yes. Ridiculous. And what the school district did in this case, Bob, they took away the existing protections of parents. So they said, we're no longer going to notify parents that this type of content is being promoted in our schools, and we're going to take away the ability of parents to even opt their child out, which is just outrageous, but very interesting case. You saw a coalition of Christian parents, Jewish parents, and Muslim parents come together to file suit against the egregious actions of the Maryland school district here. This could have wide-ranging impacts on parental rights. And I'm thankful that the General Assembly has taken some important strides here in Kentucky. I think it's important to remember, to remind folks that here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, if the school district's teaching a sex education curriculum, they actually have to get an affirmative opt-in from parents to do that. So
yes,
we've taken it a further step. It's not just that parents have to be notified and given the ability to opt out. They have to opt in, which I think is an important protection. But this is another important case.
And I want to get to, there's one more. Yeah, we only have about 38 seconds to go. Yeah. So,
an important case out of South Carolina dealing with defunding Planned Parenthood from Medicaid.
Huge.
That could have wide-ranging implications. So look, four critically important cases. Encourage folks to be praying and engaging on these. We need to be lifting up our Supreme Court and pray that they have righteous decisions in these important cases.
Fantastic. You're listening to Kentucky's Voice. We'll be right back after this commercial break with my special guest, David Walls of the Family Foundation.
Five,
stay tuned.
Four, three, two, one.
And welcome back to Kentucky's Voice. My special guest today is my good friend, David Walls. He's executive director of the Family Foundation based out of Lexington. And David, we switched things around here just a little bit intentionally because I felt like we needed to drill down a little bit more on the Planned Parenthood discussion. It was actually going to be a full discussion at the end of the show, but based upon the fact that we had touched upon the last one, I really wanted to get into that. And just so our listeners and viewers can get a little bit of a better idea how this organization operates. And it's, let me tell you, folks, it's not what it appears to be, you know, and I'll leave it at that for now. But, you know, there does seem to right now, David, be going on, I guess a celebrity campaign, if you will, to glamorize abortion and pressure Americans into supporting Planned Parenthood. But the good news, it doesn't seem to be working. And that is really the good news. As you know, people were coming out with their endorsements for Kamala Harris, including folks from our own state, celebrity folks that were doing that, and George Clooney being one of them. Again, it failed miserably. I think Trump ended up winning here by, 30 or 40 percentage points in Kentucky. But the self-aggrandized left, they really think highly of themselves. And, you know, let's talk a little bit more about Planned Parenthood and what does it tell you that Hollywood is still trying to normalize abortion, you know, but praise God, more Americans are starting to tune them out.
Yeah. You know, you said it, Bob. I mean, you would think after all the celebrity endorsement craziness that we saw in the election, where voters overwhelmingly rejected that and obviously sent President Trump back to the White House, you would think that maybe they might start getting a little bit of the message. Because I don't know about you, but I mean, honestly, even I don't go into the voting booth to make a decision based on how some celebrity tells me to vote, you know,
nor do I.
Yeah. You know, and look, we, you know, here at the Family Foundation, you know, we're blessed to put out voter guides covering important elections here in the Commonwealth. And we collect a lot of important information to give folks as much information. One thing we don't include, we don't put celebrity endorsements in our voter guide because I don't think they really matter. But, you know, the left seems to want to go back to its same tricks and it defaults to, and that is trying to use, you know, these celebrity voices to prop up the most evil and vile organization in the history of our country. And I want to say that again, Planned Parenthood is the most evil and vile organization in the history of our country. They are responsible. Just look at their most recent annual report. They are directly responsible for a murder of 400,000 preborn human beings created in the image of God in their most recent 2023-2024 annual report.
So, and you know, David, let me stop you for a second. More Americans die at the hands of abortion than any other kind of chronic disease that's happening in our nation, you know, whether it be heart disease or cancer. Over a million Americans each year are perishing at the hands of abortionists.
Yeah. You know, I'm coming to you from our office here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's my understanding, you know, about 350,000 people, maybe in the Lexington metro area, if you want to call it that. So that is essentially one organization responsible for killing more than the entire population of Fayette County each and every year. But it's not just that. You know, they are increasingly one of the big providers promoting the transgender craziness, you know, pushing puberty blockers and you know, trying to promote folks to get a gender transition, something we already discussed. It's just not even possible. So increasingly, they are involved in one of the biggest pushers of that industry as well. And so in spite of what you will hear anyone say or any of these celebrities say to talk about Planned Parenthood is a, you know, just a your average healthcare provider. They're just about providing healthcare. That's all just utter nonsense. I mean, healthcare is never killing someone. Healthcare is not physically or chemically mutilating someone's healthy body to do something that's not possible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're also increasingly one of the biggest folks engaged in political races. And that's
it's absolutely insane, David.
Yeah.
I think something like $70 million that they gave to Kamala Harris's campaign last year alone.
Yeah. And they still receive hundreds of millions of dollars of our tax dollars. And that's why, you know, we just got to briefly mention it at the end of the last segment, but this Supreme Court case, this Medina case out of South Carolina is very important as it relates to states' ability to shut off Medicaid funding at the state level for Planned Parenthood. And then, you know, Bob, as you know, we've got this big ongoing debate right now in D.C. on the, you know, big, beautiful bill as it's been coined. But one of the things that we've really been engaged in, and obviously there's a lot of debate still going on now that that bill's over in the Senate, and, you know, a lot of concerns about just the overall cost of the bill, but there's a lot of really good things in the bill. And our encouragement to supporters here in the Commonwealth is we've got to make sure that the protections to defund Planned Parenthood and to defund any tax dollars going towards a gender transition, that those important protections remain in the bill in the Senate. And, you know, it looks like there's going to be some changes made in the Senate compared to what passed the House here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But from our standpoint, If folks go to our website at KentuckyFamily.org and go to our Take Action page, you can send a message to Senator McConnell, Senator Paul, and encourage them, whatever the final version of the bill looks like, and I've got a lot of opinions about that, but we have got to make sure that we take this monumental step forward and say, we are going to shut down the hundreds of millions of dollars that this vile organization and industry is receiving to do things like abortions and gender transitions, and freeze up their resources to engage politically and to oppose the values, the candidates, and the things that I know, you know, we stand for here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Yeah, and you know, it's David, both of us have had the, I don't know if I'd call it pleasure, but we have actually been in the legislature when the sausage is being made. And when a law is being talked and discussed, there's a lot of things that go into that. And sadly, a lot of things that really need to be in the final piece of legislation get left out. And it's my understanding that's what happened in the House initially with regard to the defunding of Planned Parenthood, that when they sent it over to the Senate, that through that sausage making process, somehow intentionally, it was left out. And it's now my understanding you touched upon it, but you know, the Senate and the right kind of pressure is being brought back to where that needs to be put back in, you know, as it should be, so we can go forward with responsible legislation that really is going to make a difference.
Yeah. Well, actually, Bob, and I know it's been hard to follow because there's so much conversation going on, but actually the defunding did end up getting in the final version of the bill. Yeah. For the first time ever. And so that's why we really need to keep the pressure up on the United States Senate. And obviously, you know, the outsized influence that Senator McConnell and Senator Paul have, you know, in the Senate, representing us here in the Commonwealth, to reach out and encourage them to keep those important provisions in the bill, irrespective of, you know, some of the other ongoing debates and conversations. And boy, have there been a lot of interesting conversations and debate on that bill, even in the last few days. But no, the House, for the first time, has a very strong defunding of Planned Parenthood in there.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So we've just got to keep keep the heat up, at least on that particular part of the bill, as the debate now is raging in the United States Senate.
Do you see this as a sign that the culture is beginning to reject the idea that abortion is some sort of sacred right?
I really do. I really do. I know since, I believe the Lord, showed his mercy on this nation back in 2022 when Roe v. Wade came down in the Dobbs decision. And there's been a lot of, big battles, and some of them we've lost on the pro-life front since that time. But we are in a new era, and I think we just all need to be reminded that we have to take the battle of standing for life, standing for the truth that each and every person is created in the image of God, regardless of the circumstances of their conception, regardless of, a variety of instances. Every person is created in the image of God and deserving of protection. And I fundamentally believe that message resonates. But I'm also thankful that, you know, and a lot of kudos to the Trump administration shining a light on some of the ways in which our tax dollars are being wasted. And I can't think of any other area where we are egregiously wasting our tax dollars, then in this context of funding a vile organization like Planned Parenthood. I think, you know, maybe even some folks that may not be 100% pro-life and with, you know, where you and I, Bob, are and where we hope, most folks are on the life issue, they can at least say, look, I don't want my tax dollars paying for that. And so I think there's a broad consensus to defund Planned Parenthood, and that is why you're seeing the left go back to the same tricks that they always try, go back to the celebrities, try to get, you know, more folks to sign on in support of abortion. To me, that's a sign of desperation. It's a sign that they're losing the argument. And it gives me hope that we can move forward and continue to build a culture of life. But it's going to take all of us. And mm-hmm. We have to do it at the national level. We have to continue to advocate at the state level, and we have to continue to advocate at the local level. We have to be consistent across the board, because the dignity of human beings, our fellow image bearers, is at stake.
Yeah. And, you know, with regard to that, how do we as Christians speak boldly but compassionately in the face of this media-driven celebration of death?
Yeah. You know, I think we do that each and every time we engage for life at the local level. When you engage at your state capitol, and folks, you know, do that with us each and every day. We've had almost 3,000 messages sent to Senator McConnell and Senator Paul. Each little step like that, you're doing what the Lord has called you to do, to be salt and light, little by little. And certainly this is a broader conversation, Bob, but we need the church. We need the bride of Christ to stand up and speak out boldly when these issues are front and center like they are right now in our nation.
Amen to that. You are listening to Kentucky's Voice with my very special guest today, David Walls, with the Family Foundation out of Lexington. We'll be right back. In fact, we're going to, in our final segment, take a look at some good news that's happening with regard to the whole idea of same-sex agenda. We'll see you. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of Kentucky's Voice, where my special guest today has been David Walls of the Family Foundation. I'm Bob Scott. And in this segment, David, we'd like to turn to a surprising, somewhat shocking shift, but I don't know if it's that shocking shift in public opinion, where the support for the same-sex marriage agenda does seem to be plummeting among Republican voters, especially among younger conservatives. Could this be a sign that the left has overplayed their hand?
Well, you know, Bob, it's hard to believe, but it's been now almost 10 years since the egregious Supreme Court decision in Obergefell that redefined marriage and struck down the marriage laws in the Commonwealth of Kentucky and a majority of other states that simply just defined reality, that marriage is the union of man and a woman. And boy, have we seen a cultural shift since that time. I mean, we were already seeing it, but I mean, how do we get from, you know, a battle over marriage and the argument that you would sometimes hear on the other side, well, we just want to be recognized, you know, we want our marriage recognized, we want to just live and let live. I mean, you remember that argument, Bob? We just want to live and let live. To where we are today and some of the stuff that you and I've already talked about, where we're talking about radical transgender ideology, the idea that someone can identify opposite of their biological sex and that they should be mutilated to achieve that. How do we get from point A to B? And I would say that the undermining of marriage is front and center in that conversation. And so I do believe, and I take, you know, I take it as a good thing that we're starting to see a little bit of a reversal of the support for same-sex marriage. And I think a lot of that, Bob, is brought about because we've seen folks turning from, you know, really strongly turning away from this crazy transgender agenda that's being pushed, whether it's, you know, the effort to save women's sports and seeing biological males compete on female teams to, you know, on down the line. And I think folks are starting to connect the dots and realize, look, when we get away from the foundational principles, and Bob, you and I know this, the foundational principles that God created us, he created us male and female. He designed marriage and the family to be the centerpiece of society. And any society that moves away from those foundational truths, you're bringing chaos and disorder into the society. And that's where we're living right now. And so my hope is that young people are starting to see the fruit of some of these agendas that have been pushed, and they're starting to recoil and turn from that. We've seen plummeting, you know, the data on plummeting birth rates. Folks aren't getting married. Folks aren't having kids. All of these things are interrelated to one another. And so I think it's vitally important that we, you know, take a look. And I think some of these poll results are encouraging. But I think our challenge, both from a public policy standpoint and from a church standpoint, like we were talking about in the last segment, is we've got to get back to boldly proclaiming these truths, because they're not just what ultimately we believe the Word of God teaches. They're what the Word of God teaches because He designed us and He knows how we flourish. And this is about human flourishing and loving our neighbor. When we promote policies that undermine God's truth, we're actually doing harm to our neighbor. And I think we've seen a lot of that. And my hope and prayer is that this is a sign that we can start turning back.
Yeah. And this to me does seem to be a real realignment that's happening, especially as we were talking about among our younger people. And I would say, wouldn't you, that this is just some real fatigue that has settled in from literally being pushed around by woke ideology. You will really, which is almost Marxist, if not communist, totalitarian at the least, you will think the way I want you to think, or we're going to punish you.
No, you're absolutely right. And this is what I want folks to think about. Again, we talked about, it wasn't that long ago that the argument of the LGBTQ revolutionaries was, we just want to live and let live. And then we went to, well, we want the government to sanction our and give special protected status to our relationships and lifestyles. Then it was, well, then we've got to clear the way and strike down any laws that stand in our way, to now we've got to promote this agenda. The government should fund it and pay for it, to, you know, where we are now, which is, you know, with some of these DEI policies and so forth that thankfully we're starting to see folks turn away from. If you don't believe and accept and promote what we're saying, we're going to come after you. You deserve to be punished. I mean, we've come all the way down the line, and you're right. I think the core underlying principle is a Marxist ideology. And I do believe that we're starting to see, especially young conservatives, with the, you know, explosion of conservative podcasting and a lot of Christian voices that are rising up in this generation. You know, I think of someone like Ali Beth Stuckey, you know, a young conservative, very strong Christian female voice that is just prophetically, I believe, speaking truth into a lot of women and girls across our nation. I just see a lot of things to be encouraged about. But it ultimately comes down to us in our own homes, families, and communities in our churches. Are we willing to put these principles in practice? Are we willing to promote them? Are we willing to ensure that our kids are taught them, to pass them down to the next generation? And are we willing to count the cost? And when, you know, when one of these policies comes into conflict in your life, whether it be at school, whether it be in work, are you willing to stand up, even at a cost, to say, I'm going to stand up for what's right, and I'm not going to cower down, and I'm not going to let, you know, a policy that is taking away my God-given constitutional rights to keep me from proclaiming something that I know is true and I know is what's best for my neighbor.
Yeah, and very good. And, you know, I guess I'm going to say this, but, you know, and you touched upon this a little bit earlier in the show, but how can churches, you know, at the end of the day, how can churches and Christian leaders seize this moment to disciple, you know, and educate a new generation that's literally growing up around them, to help them flourish, you know, on God's design for marriage and family?
Oh, yeah. So vitally important. And, you know, Bob, that's one of the reasons why the Family Foundation exists. I mean, we, a part of the mission of our ministry is to come alongside the body of Christ and encourage them. And so I encourage folks, you know, to visit our website at KentuckyFamily.org and go to our church engagement page. We've got some great resources there. We've got, we do a daily or several times a week Let Us Pray devotional that a lot of churches and Christians across Kentucky sign up for, just to get a little blurb. You and I have covered a lot of information today. I bet you haven't heard a lot about some of these cases and the importance of them from the mainstream media. So to get equipped about them, to commit to pray over them, and then invite us to come to speak at your church. We do that frequently, host trainings, host other kind of events to help, you know, equip fellow believers with a stronger biblical worldview. We host events. We'll be hosting our annual Kentucky Family Forum here in Lexington on September 27th. And a big part of that event, we had a lot of churches and pastors that came to that event last year, is to equip the body of Christ. So we're doing what we can to equip the body of Christ. But I encourage folks, if your church isn't connected with the Family Foundation, I encourage you to make a connection. We'd love to get you signed up and get you on our communications. The big heart of our ministry is to see the body of Christ rise up and be the salt and light that our Lord Jesus has called us to be. And man, what a time, what an opportunity we have right now. I really believe this. I believe, with the things that are happening at the state level here in Kentucky, with the progress that's been made, with what we're seeing happen in Washington, D.C., with having an administration that's open to protecting and promoting truth as it relates to some of these important foundational issues, I truly believe that God has opened up a window of opportunity for us to engage or re-engage afresh and anew on these important issues, and let's take advantage of that. And again, that's why I'm so excited to be on the program here today and to see what the what Kentucky Voice is doing to give a voice for Christian conservatives in the media. Man, I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too, brother. And I tell you, it is an opportunity, you know, for a time such as this, as it says in the book of Esther, you know, that there is a time, and it, as you said so well and eloquently, that you have to take a stand, you know, and go out and do it in a loving Christian way. But, you know, the key is taking a stand, you know, in the face of darkness. We only have a couple minutes to go in today's program. And I just wanted to see if you had any other thoughts with regard to, we know that we have seen some areas of compromise with regard to leadership, on a national basis, but what are some other core issues that you see, and you know, as we wrap up today's program?
Well, look, we bring things back to Kentucky for just a minute. There is a lot of important work that we still need to promote from a public policy standpoint here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. You know, I mentioned several of these important Supreme Court cases are directly related to important laws that the General Assembly has passed. And one of the main reasons why those have passed is because we have godly legislators who have been put in these positions of authority because we've got an engaged citizenry that has gotten out and voted and said, we want you to focus on these important issues. But I think there's a lot more that needs to be done. I think you're going to see a lot of conversations moving towards the next legislative session about how do we further protect parental rights in our schools? How do we ensure that DEI is not running rampant in K-12 education? How do we ensure that the policies that we put in place think of the family first, instead of so many times these corporate interests, these medical interests that don't have the best of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentucky at heart? I think on the issue of life, how do we deal with the proliferation of the chemical abortion pill and the fact that in spite of these important laws that remain in effect here in Kentucky, there's still a lot of work to do. So that's why, you know, I'm blessed to be a part of the Family Foundation. We know there's still important work to do. And at the end of the day, we're called to just be faithful as Christians. God is the one that's in control of the result.
Amen. David Walls, God bless you. And you won't want to miss tomorrow's show with my special guest will be Jeremy Harrell, sharing his incredible testimony after just getting out of prison. Thank you for tuning in. Stay strong. Kentucky, God bless you.